Our next guest wants to tell you a story, specifically a story about climate change and what life could look like in a green future. His name is Per Grönqvist. His job is chief storyteller at Viable Cities. That's a government-funded program that's working to make major Swedish cities carbon neutral by 2030. We started off our conversation, believe it or not, with a clip from WALL-E, yeah, that animated movie, about a robotic trash collector on an abandoned planet Earth. Here's WALL-E meeting another robot, Eve.
Name? WALL-E.
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 Per Grönqvist, you say there are lessons in WALL-E that informed your own approach to moving the needle on climate change. What are those lessons?
Every time I watch this clip, it makes me cry because there's so much emotion going on here. And it connects us on a deeper level. It's not about facts or figures or anything. It's about sort of two characters trying to reach out and connect to each other. And that's something deeply moving because it's deeply human about it. So whenever we talk about climate change, it's all about the graphs and the facts and the figures and all that. But it's not that much. How does it feel to be in a climate neutral tomorrow? And when is that tomorrow coming anyway? But if you talk too much about carbon and climate neutral and whatnot, then suddenly it sounds like I'm going to take your car away, I'm going to steal your steak, and you can never go to Hawaii again. So it's about finding that kind of story and use that story to sort of help people make sense of that world.
So walk us through what a sustainable story of the future might look like. Give us an example of a story you might tell about getting the city of Malmo, Sweden, to be more sustainable.
So I want to bring it back to, what does a normal day look like for someone living in Malmö? So they might take the bike to drop off the kids at kindergarten and then get off to work. And then they might find themselves in lunch hour that they're eating something vegetarian or plant-based, but it's really good. It's tasty. And then afterward, they will realize they have 5 minutes extra and they will go for a smoke. That's sort of the life I'm imagining, that we will still have a high quality of life. We will still do some of the sort of stupid things that we love. That gives a richness to our life.
Why do you think stories have this power that simple instructions or advice do not?
Story has always been the way people relate information and knowledge to each other. You learn about the world through stories. And then you can fill in your blanks in terms of facts and figures and that. But when you're trying to understand something, you need a story to it. And too often we, from coming from a science point of view or a journalist point of view, where we think, okay, just lay out the facts on the table and everyone will do the right choice. That's the sort of the classical myth of the economic man, which doesn't exist at all. We are not logical human beings. We are sort of, I don't know, we're much more like monkeys driven by our sort of emotions that we get every second to do something differently.
I suppose there's also a flip side to this concept, the rise of populism. Can an over-reliance on stories and maybe an under-reliance on facts curdle into something darker?
I think Donald Trump is the very good example of that. Stories will trump facts because the campaign he was doing was not fact-based at all. Whereas, for example, Hillary Clinton was very much fact-based. It's about her cabinet would look like and her plans for the first 6 and 12 and 18 months. And fact can be a bit boring. And he was much better at connecting to a narrative that was brewing out there and saying, oh, I know, let's make America great again. Mm. And that's a story. That's a very powerful story. Even though as a journalist, you can say, okay, I have some follow-up questions. What do you mean great? And when was that? And what kind of America do you talk about? So we have to do this as a lesson to us to remember. It has to be something that is connecting to us rather than informing us.
When we're talking about climate change, something that actually needs great urgency and attention, I mean, it is hard to ignore the huge financial costs and structural barriers to make the drastic changes that are necessary to avoid catastrophe. So what can stories really do up against all of that?
Of course, you have to tell different stories to different audiences. And if you want to tell stories to someone who's working in finance, that story has to encompass how you get rich, how you could save money, how you can live a better life financially. As a researcher, I've been looking into more than 500 companies around the world and how they make money and working with sustainability to enhance profitability as well as innovation. And that's the story I tell when I meet businessmen. How can we make our cars more energy efficient? Well, this is what Toyota done. This is what BMW done. And then they start listening. The power of the example is also something that is important in the stories. Finding that whenever we tell a story about a day in the life of someone living in Malmö, that's actually a living example of someone living that sustainable life, a human being, rather than an individual in a PowerPoint presentation.
Per Grönqvist, the chief storyteller for Viable Cities, speaking with us from Stockholm. Thank you very much. Great to meet you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.